Greetings, this is Jeff Riddle. I'm the pastor of Christ Reformed Baptist Church in Louisa, Virginia. And in this short podcast, this Jots and Tittles podcast, I want to do something I haven't done in a while, and that is I want to do a text and translation note looking at one particular passage in the Scriptures, the Gospel of John, chapter 16 and verse 21. This is a passage that records some of the teachings of our Lord, and it involves an illustration that he uses relating to childbirth. As he says, a woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. I had someone earlier this week send me an email, someone who listens to the podcast, somebody who reads my blog, and they asked me a question about the translation of John 16:21, something she had noticed in some modern translations, and she was asking whether or not there was an underlying textual issue. And so I wrote a response to her, and then as the week went on, I thought, well, you know, that might be an interesting subject for other people to sort of overhear our conversation about it. I did just a little bit more study on it, and I put together a PowerPoint, and I thought I would just do a recording of a quick, relatively short conversation about this one passage, John 16, verse 21. And so let me pull up the PowerPoint that I put together. Here it is, and we'll start from the beginning, hopefully. There we go. All right, so yeah, we're looking at John 16, verse 21, and this is going to be a text and translation note. I have several of these that I've done in the past. You can find them in the archives of Word Magazine or Jots and Tittles, the short form podcast. So let's look at this passage, John 16, 21. Now, this person who emailed me, this is an excerpt of exactly the question that she posed. So here's the question she posed. She said, Pastor Riddle, the last clause of this verse, that's John 16, 21, is rendered in the King James Version, for the joy that a man is born into the world. In modern versions, such as the ESV, the English Standard Version, and the LSB, the Legacy Standard Bible, it is rendered for the joy that a child, that's what it reads in the Legacy Standard Bible, or human being in the ESV, is born into the world. And so she's asking a question about, is it significant that that translation has changed, where the Authorized Version said a man is born into the world, and the LSB says a child is born into the world, or the ESV, a human being is born into the world. She continued, I wonder if the Greek actually does allow some latitude in the translation, or is this just wokeness gone wild in the modern versions? And so she has a hunch, I think, that maybe the modern translators didn't like having that male-centric word man, that a man is born into the world. They wanted to change it to something that was more gender inclusive. Change it to human being or change it to child. She said, this may seem extremely trivial, but it is important to me, and I don't know who else to ask or how to find the answer for myself. And so I thought that was a good question, very good question, and I sent back a response. And so this is what I wrote back to this person. I said, here's my quick take. This is a translation, not a text issue. The last phrase of John 16:21 is the same in both the TR, the Textus Receptus, received text or traditional text, and in the modern critical text, the Nesselland 28th edition. And so the very last phrase there says in Greek, hati egenethe anthropos eis ton kosmon, that a man, an anthropos, was born in the world. I continue. The term in question is the translation of the word anthropos, meaning human or man, root for English words like anthropology, the study of man, the study of humanity. It seems that the English Standard Version and others changed to human being for gender inclusive reasons. The ESV has a lot of this. There's a good book. I've written a review of it by a man in the UK named Alan McGregor, where he does a review of the ESV and the NIV and the New King James Version. Talks about with the ESV and gives examples of several places where it introduces gender inclusivity. And that was interesting because he did that. He wrote that book reviewing the ESV some time back. And it's ironic because Wayne Grudem was influential in the ESV translation. And Wayne Grudem was well known for his stance in favor of biblical complementarianism, saying that men and women are equal, but they have different roles or functions in life, as opposed to the egalitarian view that says men and women are equal, but they have the same roles and functions in life. Anyway, he was behind the ESV, but McGregor points out that there are a number of places in the ESV where the translation tends to take out the gender-specific, male-specific language of translations like the Authorized Version and change them into more gender-inclusive terms. And I think I said that the McGregor's book was about the ESV, the NIV, and the New King James. I think maybe it's just the ESV and the New King James, and then, of course, the King James Version. It's comparing to that. But anyways, you can look at my review of that book, and I'll put a link to it, hopefully, in the descriptions on YouTube for this particular episode. So anyways, I continued. The Greek word for child, which is ta paideon, does appear earlier in the verse, but clearly the inspired author did not reuse that word in the final clause. But the inspired author, John the Apostle, used the word anthropos. And so earlier in the passage, if you're looking at John 16:21, a woman when she is in travail has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, there's the word paideon, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man, anthropos, is born into the world. So the inspired author did not simply use the word paideon in both places, but intentionally used a different word, anthropos, in the second part of John 16, verse 21. I wrote as well, by the way, the Nestle-Aland 28 lists no textual variants for man here. So if you look at the word anthropos in the Nestle-Aland 28 edition, there are no textual notes. So the Legacy Standard Bible translation that changes that word man to child is not doing so for textual reasons. It's not because there are either a minority or majority of manuscripts that read paideon, the plural, or paideon, I guess, a child, rather than the word for man or human being, anthropos. So there is not a matter here of a textual variant. That's the main point. I continued, I said to her, the use of man here, I think, is significant in that it stresses our Lord's true humanity. Now, I probably should have explained more, and that's part of the reason why I wanted to do this episode, because what is said in John 16:21 is an illustration. But my sense after reading it in its context is that it's an illustration that has overtones of Christological significance. And if it is self-referential to Christ himself, that he is the man, the anthropos, who has come into the world, then there might be some significance to the fact that the word anthropos is used. I added, I am doubtful that anthropos is ever translated elsewhere in the Bible as child. So I think that's kind of weird if you're going to use the word child, both for paideon earlier in the passage and anthropos in that final clause. So let's take a closer look. This is now adding to what I said in my short response to the person who had the query about the verse. First of all, as I already said, if you compare this verse in a modern critical text and with a traditional text, you'll find that linguistically it is the same. So I pulled up here John 16:21 in the Westcott and Hort, the 1881 Westcott and Hort, and you can see that, you know, it begins, hey, gune, otan, tikte, lupain, eke, the woman, when giving birth, she has pain. And you can see that it begins exactly the same, hey, gune, otan, tikte, lupain, eke, and it's the same throughout the passage. The language is the same. They both have ta paideon, talking about the first reference to she is delivered of a child, and they have the final clause is exactly the same verbally. Hati eganethe anthropos eis tan kosmon. Before that, dia tain karan, because of joy that a man has come into the world. So this is not a text issue. This is a translation issue. So let's begin, or let's continue by looking now at what I would call the classic English Protestant Bible translation tradition for John 16:21. And I noted this in my recent sermon review of Peter Gurry's sermon on the woman taken in adultery, where he had said the only reason that that passage in the Bible is because of an English Bible tradition and because of a KJV tradition. And I made the point that when you talk about the King James Version, that very often you're not talking just about the King James Version, but you're talking about an English Protestant Bible translation tradition. So many of the readings that are in the Authorized Version were not invented out of thin air by the translators, but they were drawing upon a longer previous English Bible translation tradition going back to Tyndale. William Tyndale was the first person to translate the New Testament from the original Greek using the printed text of Erasmus into English. And so I pulled up a few of these early English Protestant Bible translations, and I used the online source Texas Receptus Bibles. I think it's .com, might be .org. But anyway, just pulled these up. And we'll start with the Tyndale, a woman, when she travaileth, hath sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And so we've got the child, and we've got that a man is born into the world. And so when we look at other older English Protestant Bible translations, we see that they also follow this pattern. The Geneva Bible, we've got child and we've got man. The Bishop's Bible, 1568, we've got the child and we've got that a man is born into ye world. The Authorized Version of 1611, you've got the child. You've got that a man is born with an E on the end of the born into the world. And this is the 1769 Blaney revision of the Authorized Version that most people who use the King James Version use this. And you've got the child and you've got that a man. So there is a strong Protestant English Bible translation tradition that renders in that last phrase anthropos as that a man is born into the world, not a human being, not a child. Then we switch over and we look at what we could call the modern English Bible translation tradition for John 16:21. We can start with the English Revised Version, which is the mother of the RSV, ESV tradition. But it, when this came out in 1881, it stuck with the Tyndale, Geneva Bible, King James Version, language. It uses child and that a man is born into the world. Likewise, the American Standard Version of 1901, which is the American version of the English Revised Version, it also has the child and that a man is born into the world. It's when we come to the Revised Standard Version of 1952, the famous liberal Protestant Bible translation, that we see the word the child, and we see instead of saying that a man is born into the world, it's been changed to that a child is born into the world. And there is a note there in the RSV that explains that the Greek reads a human being, that the Greek reads anthropos. But they decided to use the word child, like the Legacy Standard Bible. Let's go to one of its daughter translations, the English Standard Version, 2002. It changes the child to the baby. That's interesting. And it says, for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So it's human being. Again, a more gender-inclusive term than man. Now, if this were just an illustration that didn't have any connection to Christ himself, you might say there's a good argument for using that gender-inclusive term, because the child that is born could have been a male child, could have been a female child, but if it was a child, it was a human child. So it was an anthropos. And so there is a sense in which anthropos can refer to a man or to a woman as a human being. However, if there is some subtle indication that this is a way in which Christ is being self-referential, then using the word man would certainly be appropriate, because Christ is a human being and he is also a male. Then let's go to the New American Standard Bible of 2020, revised in 2020. They have the child and they have that a child has been born into the world. And they also have the note. They have two notes. They have one for pain, which I didn't include. But the second one, their note says, be literally human being. And then let's look at the New Revised Standard Version, the updated edition. The NRSV was done in 1989. Then it was updated in 2021. The online version, I think the print version, was just 2022. And they have her child, and they have of having brought a human being into the world. So they have human being, like the ESV does, they were the first one, weren't they? Yeah, the ESV was the first one to have human being. But now I'm guessing probably the New Revised Standard Version of 1989 had human being, and the updated edition as human being. What about the Legacy Standard Bible? This was John MacArthur's response to what he thought was too much gender inclusivity in the New American Standard Bible updated in 2020. But here, there's the child for the first instance, but for paideon. But anthropos here is not translated as in the traditional English Protestant Bible translation tradition, but it's changed to child, that a child has been born into the world, and it has a note, literally human being, reads the same as the New American Standard Bible. So if you're going to make the change with the Legacy Standard Bible, because you think that New American Standard Bible practiced too much gender inclusivity, why wouldn't you change this verse, which seems in part to be motivated to some degree by a desire to have gender inclusivity? Let's just look briefly at what how some other modern versions render this passage. And I'll look at these two because these are translations that are popular with evangelicals who like the TR for the New Testament. Again, this is not a textual issue, but this is a translation issue. The New King James, in that last clause, has that a human being has been born into the world. So same as the New Revised Standard Version, same as the English Standard Version. Whereas the modern English version of 2014 has for that last phrase that a child is born into the world. So it is like the Legacy Standard Bible and the New American Standard Bible. So they both make changes. They both depart from the Tyndale Geneva King James Version tradition that says that a man is born into the world. So let me just follow up with a few further thoughts on the possible significance of John 16:21 and its translation. And I think I posed three questions here. First question, is the changing of the classic Protestant English translation of John 16:21 warranted? Does it make sense to change man to human being or man to child? And some might say, well, yes, it does, because this is an illustration and he could have been talking about the birth of a boy or the birth of a girl. And so the best way to render anthropos is with a gender neutral term. And I guess someone who's a conservative might just protest and say, listen, when the term man is used in that sense, of course it refers both to male and female members of humanity. Why not just stick with a good traditional English word there, the word man? So that would be part of the discussion about whether it would be warranted to change the translation, the traditional translation. A second question, does the saying of Jesus in John 16, 19 through 22 and following, so looking at the larger context of John 16, 21, does it give any indication that the reference to the man being born is self-referential to Christ's first advent, to his resurrection appearances, and or to his second advent? So this is the question. Is John 16, 21 just a one-off illustration of how the coming of the kingdom is like the travail of giving birth to a child, or is there more to it there? So if you look at John 16, beginning verse 19, it says, now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, a little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me. Verily, verily, or amen, amen, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. And then here's his illustration. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. My wife used to tell me that her mother would say that the pain of childbirth is a pain that is quickly forgotten, because then you have your child there and you're filled with joy. And my wife said, yeah, there's a lot of joy, but it's still painful. That's the point of the illustration. The coming of the kingdom is painful, and yet you go through the pain and to experience the joy of the kingdom coming. And Christ continues then in John 16, verse 22, and ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. So as you read through this passage, you realize that perhaps this is not just a one-off illustration, but this is a way in which Christ is making reference to himself and to the experience of his disciples. It's a multivalent, I think, illustration. It's in some ways illustrative of his first advent. He was born of a woman. He was born to Mary in Bethlehem. And so she went through the travails of childbirth to bear the Messiah. It's also, to some degree, an illustration of the fact that Christ will return from the grave, that he will be raised again. He will go through the travail of the cross. He will be put placed in the tomb, but in the space of 3 days, after the space of 3 days, he will rise again from the dead. And not only that, but it will be a sorrowful experience for the disciples. They will go through sorrow, but then they will experience joy when they see the risen Christ. And then beyond that, it also may be talking about the second coming of Christ. He will ascend to the right hand of the Father, but he will come again in power and glory. And so there will be suffering and travail in this age, but in the new age, when Christ returns, there will be joy. And so rather than simply a one-off illustration, in many ways, the reference here is to Christ himself. Christ himself is the man who is born into the world, born in Bethlehem in his first advent, born from the grave by having his resurrection body, born in that he will come again in his second advent, not as a babe in Bethlehem, but as a dread and sovereign, a Lord and judge. And so I think the reference in verse 21 is a reference back to Christ himself. And if that is the case, then there is good reason to support and hold to, I think, the traditional English Protestant translation reading. For joy that a man, an anthropos, is born into the world. And what is more, when we look at the Gospel of John, and I haven't done an extensive study of this, but I just briefly looked at it, you see some indication of the importance of the word anthropos in reference to Christ. So in the very beginning, in the so-called Johannine prologue, in John 1:6, it says there was a man, there was an anthropos sent from God whose name was John. It's talking about the coming of John the Baptist, the baptizer, as the forerunner for Christ. But then it says that anthropos, John, was not that light. That anthropos was not that phos. That anthropos was not Christ. And so the real anthropos who is coming into the world, who is the light of the world, is Christ himself. And then when you get to the end of John's gospel, when Christ is on trial before Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor famously declares in John 19, verse 5, "Behold the man, ide ha anthropos." And one thing that's quite interesting here is if you look at all the modern translations of John 19 and verse 5, you see that to a translation, I didn't see any that didn't follow this. They translated according to the classic Protestant English Bible translation. They all read, "Behold the man," or "Here is the man." And that's true for the English Standard Version, the New Revised Standard Version, Updated Edition, the Legacy Standard Bible. They did not see fit to translate Christ or Pilate's words, not Christ's words, but Pilate's words in John 19, verse 5, as behold the human being or behold the person, but they all rendered it as behold the man. So in the end, my question is this. If John 16, 21 is a subtly self-referential way of Christ alluding to himself, is there any Christological significance to the use of the word anthropos here? And is there then any significance in how that word is translated? Is there, for example, a subtle stress in John 16:21 on the true humanity of Christ, that he is the true anthropos, who was born into the world in his first advent, who will come back from the dead in his resurrection body, in his resurrection appearances, who will come again in glory as a true anthropos? Did he suffer on the cross as a true anthropos, as a true man, as Pilate says, behold the man? And so I think there are a lot of reasons to hold on to the what I would call the classic Protestant translation of John 16:21, and in that last clause, to not change it to for joy that a human being is born into the world, or to change it to the redundant for joy that a child is born into the world, but to maintain the classic English wording for joy that a man is born into the world. Well, friends, I hope that this little discussion, these reflections on the text and translation of John 16:21 have been helpful, encouraging, edifying for those who are listening. I look forward to speaking to you in the next Jots and Tittles episode or the next Word Magazine episode. Till then, take care and may the Lord richly bless you.